welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of July 28th through August 3rd. I'm your host, Cardzi B. Many of you already know I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B. Can you guys believe it's almost August already? Let's just take a minute to celebrate the fact that we all survived both eclipse season and Mercury retrograde, which is almost over. It officially goes direct July 31st, but there's still a bit of a shadow period after that. But that being said, Leo season is finally here, which again, as a fire sign, I'm excited I love Leo season. It's very, it's fun. It's like high summer. It's bling bling energy. You know, it's Madonna. I have so many Leos in my life that I adore. So I'm really excited to see that Leo momentum in place, especially after the retrogrades and the eclipses we've been experiencing. Next week, I'll go through the August Leo overview with the cards of the month, but we still have a tiny little bit left of July's cards. So last few days, we're just stretching out that powerful Cancer energy of the Chariot, which came in like Miley on a wrecking ball this month. And you guys have probably already seen this play out by now. The Chariot usually brings in successes. It's a card of victory. And especially, I feel like because we were in Cancer season and all of the work with the eclipses and the retrograding planets, a lot of this could have been around emotional progress, success or victory around that, blocks we might have cleared in order to open roads that were leading us towards a more authentic version of where we're headed. And our other card for July is Three of Cups, and I love this one. This is that super fun Mercury and Cancer energy that creates a really delicious flow of abundance. Usually, it's usually a celebration of abundance or a celebration of a really great time period, like celebrating a wedding, celebrating a union of some sort, celebrating a job success. So it's a great time to really honor yourself for what you've made it through in July and continue the celebration with yourself and with your core peeps. All right, so let's take a look at the card of the week. Four of Pentacles reversed. Okay, so I told you guys after a year of doing the podcast, I would start working reversals into the weekly cards. And this is officially the 53rd episode, and this is our first reversal. So I'm really actually happy that this is what we got because it's a positive reversal. I like this card more reversed than upright. So in the traditional Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card, Four of Pentacles, is this dude wearing a crown with his feet stamped forcibly over two pentacles. And he's holding another really closely to his chest, and the fourth is sitting on top of his head. Astrologically, Four of Pentacles is associated with the sun in Capricorn. Now, Capricorn's an earth sign that's known for both its success, but also known a little bit for its rigidity and sometimes scarcity mentality, which is really a lot of the upright version of this card. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this card is Martha Stewart circa 2004 when she went to jail for insider trading, literally hoarding of resources, if you will. So while upright, this card represents that lack mentality, that kind of hoarding energy, struggling with spending, struggling with generosity, I prefer this reverse because Four of Pentacles reversed demonstrates releasing lack mentality and really opening up to being able to receive from the universe. The reversal is often related to increased generosity and sharing of resources. And we know this attracts more generosity to you and more abundance from the universe. As you kind of, open up and share and give out, the universe also wants to give to you. So I'm excited about this. I like to see this card reversed, and I feel like that we're kind of welcoming in. If we were feeling a little bit guarded, a little bit like closed up, especially in Cancer season, that like sensitive but like shell around you of being a bit boundaried and maybe overly so, Four of Pentacles is saying it's okay to kind of let some of that generosity, that abundance flow into you, and Leo season is the time for that. I feel like this week's guest definitely displays some of my favorite attributes of Four of Pentacles reversed due to his generosity of the content he gives out to the collective through his media platforms. Brandon Alter is a tarot reader, healer, teacher, and writer for various sources, including the Numinous. Hey, Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I always reference you. I think I've talked about you in the podcast. I always do to clients. I love the way that you really share information about tarot in a really approachable way. I mean, that's my goal with this podcast. And I think that you nail it. You're very entertaining, but very informative at the same time. And I love that.
Thank you. You know, I think it's my Taurus North Node, which always makes me want to like make things practical. Like, how do we bring it down to earth without watering it down so much that we lose the essence of it?
Totally. I think you do that very well. So I'm grateful for
that. Thank you.
Can you share a little bit about how you kind of got involved with tarot and what your journey looked like to get to this point?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm really lucky because my mom is a total like witch and healer. And she bought me my first tarot deck when I was like 11 years old.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's awesome.
I know. And she was like taking me to psychics when I was probably like 7 or 8 years old. Like I was steeped in it. She got my brother and I Reiki attuned when we were like 12. So like it was a woo-woo world I grew up in.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it doesn't matter what you're raised in, like you rebel against it. You know, like you could be raised with like candy and you would rebel against candy just because that's what you grow up in.
Totally.
And so something happened in my like, not even my late teens, because I was still giving tarot readings in high school, but something happened in my 20s when I went to college and moved to Los Angeles. I just kind of fell away from all my spiritual practices and I kind of got swallowed up by like the industry and like wanting to be on television and wanting to be an actor and I don't know what I would say, like letting my wounded child drive the bus.
Yeah. I feel like we've all done that at a period in our like young adult lives, right?
Totally. Yeah. And then when all of that stuff proved itself to be as hollow as we all kind of know it is, that like no amount of fame, fortune, or validation will, you know, ease that deeper hunger inside, like healing will, like spirit will, I returned to spiritual practice in a really major way. And it was really through finding shamanism and starting to develop a shamanic practice that the tarot kind of came online in a super profound and almost brand new way. And the way I talk about that is just that, like, when I was reading cards initially, I was really good at it, but I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't aware that I was channeling. I just kind of felt like I was bullshitting. Like, I was 16, 17 years old. I just thought I was, like, telling people what they wanted to hear, or, like, what have you. But once I started to connect to myself as a channel or a medium or a vessel, whatever you want to call it, and I also realized that the tarot is this incredible, I think of it as like Grand Central Station for like every amazing spiritual tradition that the world has ever procured. And so I was able to kind of use the tarot to ground myself back into spiritual practice and to teach people about spiritual practice.
I love that. It's so interesting. So I work with a shaman. And he actually was on the podcast, I think the week before last, and he, very similar to you, like he got involved with tarot through shamanism. So I would love to talk a little bit more about that because I actually didn't address it in great detail with him, but I know you do a lot of work with shamanic journeying. And can you-
Yeah, for sure.
What that looks like, what your practices around shamanic journeying are, and if it's, you know, anything that you could kind of give us an intro to that we could work, like the listeners could work on themselves.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would love to. So shamanic journeying is really the core practice of shamanism. Like you can't practice shamanism if you don't know how to journey. Because what journeying essentially is your way to communicate with the spirits of the invisible world. So like when we're engaging with, you know, tarot or runes, or even like a medium, they're calling the spirits to you here in what's known as the middle world or ordinary reality. And that's a lot of work for the spirits. Like they got to move through the veil. So when you journey, you're going to where the spirits live. And that's how you start to understand who's around you, who's wanting to help you and to deepen those relationships. And because shamanism is decentralized and it puts you at the center of your own spiritual authority, the only way you know if something's true or not is to journey on it. And so it's sometimes really annoying because I'll take these workshops and I'll like have an amazing teacher and I'll ask them these questions and they'll go, oh, you know, that's a really good question. You should journey on that. And it's annoying because, you know, I just want the answer fed to me. But the truth is it's a really, you know, and this is why shamanism has always been hated by any sort of like patriarchal, capitalistic, you know, dictatorship is because it gives the power back to the people. You don't take the priest or the rabbi or the king's word for it. You do it yourself. So, journeying is essentially this practice of traveling to invisible worlds, either the upper, the middle, or the lower world, And you can do it through just changing your state into an altered state by listening to a drum or a rattle. Now, of course, there are a lot of shamanic peoples, like 20% of shamanic cultures use plant medicine or some sort of hallucinogen to shift their consciousness. And we even know this, like psilocybin or ayahuasca. Those are journeys for sure. Yeah. But I like using the drum because it means I can like take a 15-minute journey and then I can go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm so excited. It's so funny. I just started this with my shamanic healer, and I have done plant medicine. I've worked with ayahuasca and have thoroughly enjoyed those journeys. But yeah, it's a commitment. You know? It's like,
yeah,
2 days of your life that you are committing to that. So I love that this is something, and that's why I wanted to discuss this in addition to your tarot practice, that we can kind of do at home and on an ongoing basis.
Yeah. And then once you know how to journey, you can journey on anything. You could journey to a tarot card. You could journey to the Empress and be like, what is the message you have for me? What is the true essence of your medicine? And then it's like, you don't have to take it from somebody else's book. You don't have to take it from anybody. You're taking it from the source itself. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So the way you journey is, it's a really simple practice. And I always say, like, any practice, the more you do it, the better you get at it. But there are lots of drumming tracks on YouTube that you can listen to. I also just like have rattles that like I'll shake in the morning. And that shifts me into that altered state of consciousness. Essentially what the drums do, but you probably know this if you've ever like done a healing sound bowl meditation, or even just like think about a rave, you know, like you go out and you dance to that, like, you know, that disco dance music, and that drum beat, it shifts you from an alpha brainwave state, which is like where we are having this conversation, to a theta brainwave state. And that's when like you're in meditation. That's when you're kind of in this liminal in between space. Even if you're like working really hard on like a math problem, that's theta brainwave state. So the drumming, the rattling, the ecstatic dancing, it takes you there.
Amazing.
Even breath work. There's a form of breath work I practice that is just fine. It's what's called as the driver of the journey. Mm-hmm.
So do you have any tracks specifically that you recommend, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only, and I can,
yeah, I was going to say,
yeah, I can just send that to you
in the notes of this podcast. That would be great.
Yeah. There's one on YouTube actually that I use all the time, and it's great.
That's amazing. Yeah. Cause I've done sound paths that were very impactful, but like I kept saying to Kylie, she's based in LA actually, and I did it in Los Angeles, and I was like, I just want you to basically live across the hall and do this for me every day, because it even changed my dog, who's a very high strung teacup Pomeranian, was so chill for 24 hours. I was like, oh my, like, I just want you to do this for her every day. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. My dog, I mean, you'd think that the drumming or the rattling would get him all, you know, fired up, but it actually soothes him as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I have to ask, because this is something, I have a segment on the podcast called Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet. And I find that with so many people, I'm a gay lady and came out of the closet quite young. And I have found coming out of the spiritual closet, so to speak, has been more challenging in a lot of scenarios than coming out of the closet as a lesbian. Have you found that? And have you had any instances that were either positively or negatively surprising in that realm?
I think it's such a great question. And it's actually something my husband and I talk about all the time, because he feels like he's always coming out of the closet as a spiritual person. He's an astrologer. And so, and he's a producer and a writer. So, you know, his day job is in the world of entertainment. And so he'll have to, like, you know, come out of the closet in that way.
Yeah.
I think the first, how do I want to approach this? So first of all, I would just say, yes, I'm always coming out of the closet as a spiritual person. I think as a shamanic healer, because that's not something that contemporary society really understands. When people ask me what I do, still to this day, I get a little like, oh God, am I really going to go there? Am I really going to say it? I'm a tarot reader and a shamanic healer. Like, this is what I do. But I find that the more confident I am in my abilities, the more people receive that. Like when I was really embarrassed, and this is true for being gay too, like when I had gay shame and I came out of the closet, people read my shame first. But now I think they read my confidence. And so when I say, I'm a shamanic healer, I'm a tarot reader, people usually go, oh, that's cool. I know nothing about that. Tell me more. Whereas if I'm like, yeah, so I'm like a, you know, like a shamanic healer, I'm a tarot reader, people are gonna be like, oh, okay. You know, like,
so true.
So And I feel like it's kind of my job, and it's all of our jobs right now, to come out of the closet every day wherever we are, so that we can empower people who don't live in Los Angeles or don't live in New York or don't live somewhere where it's okay to be witchy as fuck, to start to own that, because we need everybody.
Yes, we need all of the healers to stand up. And that's really why I started adding that segment to my podcast, is just people that write in, listeners that DM me or email me, and I, you know, give them a free reading and I tell their story. Because a lot of times, as is the case with being gay, it's you're received so much better than you thought you were going to be when you actually have the courage to do it. One of the listeners had written in that he was at one of those like office parties where you have to have the mandatory cake and come out of your cubicle, and people were talking about like the plans for the weekend, and he is a Reiki healer, and he was like, I'm doing this Reiki retreat, and like you said, people were really intrigued and like, oh, I don't really know a lot about that, can you explain more? And then I think he got a couple clients out of it. So I love hearing those stories, and I think even though it can be a little bit intimidating, it's like you said, the more you do it, the easier it gets, and the more confident you kind of stand in your power as a healer, whatever modality that might be.
Totally. And I think it's because I've been doing this for long enough now that I know it works, and I know the spirits are real, that I don't have to like change anybody's mind. Like, I don't have to prove it to anybody, because it's been proven to me. And I think that's where the confidence comes from. And it does take some time.
Yeah, definitely. On that same note, what kind of advice for people that are just kind of finding their way, whether it's they're starting to practice a healing modality, or they're just kind of delving into this world in terms of like reading and listening to podcasts and sparking their interest, what advice do you have to somebody that's just beginning to explore this?
The number one piece of advice I would say is to trust yourself and to respect yourself as your best teacher. Because we're so quick to give our authority away to this book or this person or this guru. And everyone's experience of spiritual practice and intuition is different. So I can only tell people what has worked for me, but that may not be the same for you. So the number one thing you got to figure out is, how do your intuitive gifts manifest? Are you clairvoyant? Do you see things? Are you clairaudient? Do you hear things? Is it your body? Do you feel things? What are the images? What are the symbols that spirit uses to communicate to you? And just start to pay attention and to notice. I think that's the best place to begin.
I love that. And I think it's, to mirror that, I think it's just so important to kind of stand in your own unique voice, as you know, as weird as that may be. Like when I started and everyone was posting on their tarot Instagram like all of these crystals and these beautiful herbs, and I'm like the freaking Elle Woods of tarot, right? And I've got like all of these like tabloid references, and I was like, oh my god, am I not gonna be taken seriously? Are people gonna hate me in this community? And I actually have found kind of a following of a lot of millennials that are like, this speaks to me and it's helped me understand it. So I always say that too, of just like speaking your own voice, and that really, it helps elevate your own kind of connection to cosmic consciousness.
100%. And we don't want to be elitist about it. We don't want to be protective around these spiritual practices anymore. Like, they need to be as accessible as the tabloids. Like, there should be crystals in every grocery store checkout aisle, so long as they're sustainably sourced, you know, like, we need this medicine now.
I love that. And that's what it's kind of in creating my deck and the way that I do, like, I guess, brand myself as a reader. I want it to be like a gateway drug of like, yeah, there's some like, you know, celebrity like tabloids, and there's healing here, you know,
like totally
even with what's familiar. But no, I love that. So going back to your tarot practice, you found that through shamanism. How did you start working with it? Was it kind of for your own healing, and then you started to read other people and it kind of expanded from there?
Yeah, 100%. So the first deck my mom bought me when I was 11 was the Rider-Waite. And so I learned that, you know, as a teenager, and then, you know, fell away. And when I came back to the tarot, it was through the Wild Unknown, which is all animals. And so that really spoke to me shamanically, because I was looking at animals and trees and plants and the elements, and really started to work with the tarot through that lens. And so at first, I was just pulling cards for myself every day and just kind of slowly dipping my toe back into the water. And after about a year or two of pulling cards for myself every day, I was ready to start pulling cards for other people. And of course, you know, people would want me to bring my cards to like a party, or, and I would start to do that for my friends for free. You know, now they understand that like, this is my job. And so if they want a reading, you know, they have to pay for it. Yeah. Except like every once in a while, I'll have a friend who'll be like, can you just pull a card for me? And I'll be like, yeah, of course. Like, I'm here to help.
Well, I think you're has to be some sort of energetic exchange. And it's helpful, obviously, when you're learning. I was the same way, where I was always for free. And I was like, now I'll even my best friends, like, I'll let them buy me dinner. And it's
exactly
being able to receive, because I'm like, there is an exchange. Yeah.
Totally. Because if you give it to them for free, they don't really receive it, actually.
Yeah.
There's something about that exchange, whether it's you have to pay for it or work for it a little bit, where you really respect the information coming through. If it's free and you don't like what the cards have to say, you just throw it away.
Yeah, it's so valid. And I think that that's such a, not that, I mean, I am as well versed by any means as you, but just from working with shaman and working with plant medicine, I've learned that there has to be some sort of like sacrifice back on your behalf, and in that you're able to receive more because you're giving out, which I think has allowed me. I always struggled with receiving, and that's been one of the beautiful blessings and messages I've learned in tarot, is that like, oh, I need to be able to receive if I'm really going to help you.
100%. I struggle with it too. I'm constantly trying to expand myself as a container to receive. I feel like it's easier for all of us to do one or the other.
Right.
Like, you're either a really good giver or you're a really good receiver, and you have to kind of lean into the opposite.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I ask everybody this on the podcast, and readers are my favorite to answer this. Do you have a favorite card in the deck? And if so, which card?
Oh my goddess, this was so hard. I literally, before I joined you here, I pulled out some of my favorite cards and I was like, who is it? Who is it going to be? Because I have a couple of favorite cards, of course. But I guess the one that I really want to talk about is the moon. Because I think the moon sometimes gets a bad rap, because it can sometimes be challenging, because people think about it as like the card that speaks to the unconscious, the shadow, addiction, strangeness. But I had a revelation a couple of months ago. I was at this amazing art exhibit in Oakland called Queer California. And it was all about queer people in California. And there was an amazing video installation interviewing some indigenous people who were queer and talking about their queerness as experienced in their community. And this one person said, you know, some people get their energy from the sun and some people get their energy from the moon. And as a queer person, I am a person of the moon.
I love that.
I know, right? And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, the moon is about queerness.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The moon card represents queerness. And it doesn't mean like gay,
right,
but it does yeah, also mean gay. But wherever you are, there's something queer about you.
Yes. Yeah.
And the moon is when you start to embrace that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah, because it's such a card of integration of kind of all sides of yours. I do love that. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, of course I also have to say, like, I love the Empress. I love the Star.
Right.
I love the Pages, actually. As I was like going through the deck, I was like, oh my God, why do I love all the Pages so much?
I do too. I gave them all like really fierce actresses because I love the Pages.
Yeah. They're so open. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I teach the tarot, I say, like, you know, the function of the page is to open and to ground. And I think at this point in my life, that's what I need the most, is opening and grounding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also, I guess, shout out to the Queen of Cups, too, because I love her.
Yeah.
And it's the only tarot card I've ever lost.
Really?
That's, yeah.
Interesting.
And I was like, of course it was the Queen of Cups. Like, she's so mysterious. Like, she literally just disappeared from ordinary reality.
Oh my God, I love that. And I love that you picked the moon, because I, a lot of people obviously say the Empress and the Star, and those are popular cards, but I think a lot of people do struggle with the moon. So I love when there's a really beautiful perspective on a challenging card. That's
yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
And it's only challenging, I think, if you resist it.
Right, right.
It's like when you resist your shadow, it's an enemy. When you embrace your shadow, it's an ally.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because in my deck, it's Britney Spears, but I drew her as like half sexy, iconic Britney, and then half.
Yeah, Spears, with like, the shaved head. Totally.
We all have an Instagrammable hot Britney and a fucking shaved head hot mess Britney in us. And it's really the integrating both and hearing both out and kind of, yeah, becoming whole as a result of all sides of that. So I love your take on that card. That's
Thank
awesome.
You.
Do you have one that you absolutely hate seeing in a reading for yourself, or you get nervous when you pull it for others?
Yeah. Now, of course, I don't hate any of the cards because they're all beautiful and they're all medicine. And I don't believe in good cards or bad cards, but yeah, like, I don't like the Five of Pentacles. It's hard as fuck. Like, who likes a physical contraction, you know?
Yes.
And I even
all are hard, I feel like.
And even though sometimes I try to speak to it in the most positive spin, at the end of the day, like, the Five of Pentacles means something's gonna break. Maybe it's your bank account, or as I experienced last month, it was like my ankle. Like, I was on this intensive, like, in the woods, like, having an amazing experience. That morning I pulled the Five of Pentacles and I literally was like, this ain't gonna show up. This is wrong. Like, how could the Five of Pentacles show up for me today? And I was jogging not an hour later and I rolled my ankle and I sprained it. And I ended up in the ER like 3 hours later.
Oh my gosh.
And of course it's the rider deck that I used to pull for myself. And there is like that little boy on crutches. And I was like, this is too literal. I was like, this is way too literal.
I forgot about that because I read with, you know, my own now, which is Countess Luann, which is, yeah, physical contraction and financial contraction. But
honey, we could talk about that all day. Oh my goddess. As a Real Housewives connoisseur, we could really go there.
Oh my goodness. That's a whole offline conversation. But yes, the fives are challenging in general. I have the same reaction to almost all the fives upright. I welcome most of them reverse. Do you have a card that you feel is like that you embody, that would be the essence of you? Like, if I make a deck of all like magical mofos, who are you going to be in that deck?
Wow, that's such a amazing question. I mean, maybe the King of Swords, because I am an Aquarius and I connect King of Swords to Aquarius.
Yes.
And also I'm a teacher, I'm a writer, I'm a speaker. So King of Swords is all of those things. And I, you know, I'm mental as fuck. Like, I can't avoid that. But I do a year ahead spread for myself every year. On January 1st, I'll pull, you know, 13 cards, one card for each month, and then a center card. And my center card this year is the Page of Cups.
Oh, nice.
And of course, at the beginning of the year, I was like, oh my gosh, how amazing, a year of like heart opening and vulnerability. And as I've been moving through it, I'm like, Jesus Christ, a year of heart opening and vulnerability.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing, and I would not trade this year for anything. And numerologically, this is a judgment year for me, and I can see how this is a year where, like, I am not the same. You know, like, this is the year I'm sobering up. This is the year I'm stepping into my healing practice, like, bigger and better than ever before. Like, so there's something about the Page of Cups that I don't know if I am the Page of Cups as much as I think I'm naturally the King of Swords, but I would be honored and humbled to start to embody that more and more.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and I think that varies with time. There are certain that, like, I always keep a card on the backdrop of my iPhone as, like, what I'm trying to embody in any given time.
Love that.
That varies. So I love both of those cards, too. It's funny. King of Swords in the deck I created is my ex-wife. We're still very good friends, and she's an amazing documentarian. And she's like a teacher. She has a podcast that's a like philosophical podcast, and she does a bunch of documentaries. And it's funny, she has that. Like, she's a very empowering truth bomb. Like, you're the same way, like, very direct, but it's with so much love that you can receive it. You know, sometimes it's a little too direct. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, totally.
For like your best and highest. I love King of Swords for that reason. I love that pick. We're almost at the end of the half hour, but I just wanted to check in before we head out. Do you have any upcoming like classes, events that I can link to and shout out to the listeners?
I mean, honestly, I'm just always wanting to shout out the podcast that my husband and I offer, which is The Spiritual Gaze. And we do that twice a month. And we usually alternate between a deep dive into a subject, whether it's tarot or astrology or healing, shamanism, breath work, and then an interview with somebody fabulous from, you know, our lives. So I always like to shout that out. And I would just say, keep your eyes peeled, because I'm currently developing my online tarot class. Because I've been teaching what I was calling Tarot and Vino, which was my 3-week tarot class with like wine and food. And it was in LA. And a lot of people were like, well, what if I don't live in LA? And I was like, Brandon, you're an Aquarius, like, use technology, like, get over yourself. So just stay tuned for that.
Yeah, because I kept saying about it. And I was like, I would think that I could attend your course, but I'm in New York. So I think that's amazing that you're bringing it online.
Yeah, so without the vino, but you can certainly bring it yourself to the sessions.
So I'm definitely gonna sign up as soon as you have that available. Thank you so much for talking with us today. I have a million more questions for you, but to keep it to the half hour, I'm gonna have to let you go for now. But I would love to bring you back on, and I would love to finally meet in person next time I'm in LA or you're in New York.
I would adore that. I would just love that so much.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
How incredible is Brandon? If you don't follow him, I know you're going to immediately after this episode. I'm going to link back to his site and all of his social, as I said, in the notes of this podcast, so definitely check it out. So to quickly recap before we go, July came in hard and fast, like Miley on a wrecking ball. If decisions were in your hand this month, the Chariot probably helped you to process emotions before proceeding. It's really that Cancerian energy of like, yes, it's victorious. It has that hard crab shell. But there was also a lot of emotional work being done. And because of that, it's probably brought you closer if you haven't already received something that you were seeking, something that you desired. Our other card to close out July, Three of Cups, indicating that we will be or have been celebrating a new source of abundance. And that can be energetic abundance, happiness, love. It can be financial. It could have been a job upgrade, a new client. Regardless the realm, Three of Cups really reminds us to kind of just soak up the sun and enjoy. It's that like, take that minute to celebrate with your core people, with yourself, of that, giving yourself that pat on the back for what you've achieved and accomplished this month, especially, gosh, it was a hard one with the eclipses, with Mercury retrograde. Like, we survived. That in and of itself deserves a Three of Cups moment. And lastly, the card of the week brings us Four of Pentacles reverse. So if you've been feeling a little bit of a lack mentality around resources, especially financially, this week is going to help to turn that around. Four of Pentacles reverse encourages us to release barriers in order to open up to receive from the universe. Remember, generosity attracts abundance. So it's a good idea to lighten up those purse or Venmo strings, if you will, this week. All right, Instagram Live. I am back at 8 p.m. EST tonight. You can tune in for an overview of the upcoming week and a chance to get your own free live mini reading. I still may be changing the night on this because Sundays with travel are occasionally tricky for me, but I'll be here tonight, 8 p.m. Check it out. You can also message your questions through in advance, DM me at CardsyB or through BadassBitchesTarot.com if you like, but I am taking them live. Sending them through in advance will just ensure that it gets read in the half hour. Also, I officially launched my first ever retreat, City Witches Ritual. For those of you who want to practice your magic in style this fall, October 27th, we're having a Hamptons luxury retreat that's going to be amazing. It includes luxury accommodations, yoga, breathwork, Reiki sessions, tarot readings, cacao ceremonies, magical AF gift bags, delicious plant-based meals and potions, and it's all for an incredibly affordable price. Like, legitimately, it's super luxury Goop Canyon Ranch vibes for the same price as retreats that are held in the middle of the woods in a tent. So it's a great deal already, but if you book before August, you can get $100 off with the code CityWitchVIP. Hurry up, because we already have a few places, few tickets booked for this, and we only have 10 slots available. So they're going fast. Check it out at CardsyB on Instagram or BadassBitchesTarot.com for more information. Thank you guys so much. Congrats on surviving July and eclipse season. And as always, stay magical AF.